Welcome to the Discover Strength podcast. I'm Luke Carlson. I'm the CEO of Discover Strength, and I'm an exercise physiologist. On this episode, we're going to talk about the underappreciated, often overlooked benefits of strength training. I'm going to make an argument that I don't even think we're engaging in strength training for the most important reasons, the most important benefits that strength training or resistance exercise provide. I think even if we're really into strength training, I think we're unaware of some of those benefits. Maybe the stimulus or the impetus for this discussion is a wonderful paper published a few years ago in the Journal of Clinical Nutrition, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. And the author writes a piece called The Underappreciated Role of Muscle in Health and Disease. And I want to share with you the conclusion to this piece. Now, this is a scientific journal. Bear with me. The conclusion is short. The importance of maintaining muscle mass and physical and metabolic functions in the elderly is well recognized. Less appreciated are the diverse roles of muscle throughout life and the importance of muscle in preventing some of the most common and increasingly prevalent clinical conditions such as obesity and diabetes. It's therefore imperative that factors directly related to muscle be included in future studies designed to demonstrate optimal lifestyle behaviors throughout the lifespan, including physical activity, strength training, and diet. Now, we're wise enough to understand that as we age, we have to strength train, right? When you're 60, 70, 80 years of age, then the amount of muscle mass that you have, preventing both sarcopenia, a loss of muscle, and dynopenia, a loss of muscle strength, is critically important. We probably underestimated the importance of maintaining or increasing muscle tissue when we're in our 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So what I want to do on this episode is I want to talk through what I call the saw sharpening benefits of exercise. This paradigm shift that says, hey, we're not strength training for bigger muscles. We're not strength training for muscle strength alone. There is more compelling reasons that should serve as the why that underpins our strength training workout. I want to walk through six of them. The first reason, the real focus of resistance training, of strength training, is to improve our cardiovascular health. The number one reason we should strength train is to mitigate cardiovascular disease risk. And I think we're largely unaware of this. How do I know that we're unaware of this? Or where does that assumption, my assumption, come from? Well, Discover Strength's been around for 18 years as we record this, and we've worked with tens of thousands of customers. And of course, on a client's first visit to Discover Strength, we always ask, well, what are your goals? What are your objectives in being here? And in 18 years, I don't think we've ever had a customer say, I'm here to improve my cardiovascular health. I am here chiefly to mitigate cardiovascular disease risk. And that is an evidence-based pursuit. Barbara Strasser, the brilliant researcher, does a review of the literature as early as 2011. This is published in the International Journal of Obesity. And she concludes, resistance training is at least as effective as aerobic endurance training in reducing some major cardiovascular disease risk factors. So we know, and we've known for decades, that aerobic exercise, cardiovascular exercise, jogging, walking, hopping on an elliptical machine, a bike, is a wonderful modality for decreasing cardiovascular disease risk. It turns out strength training is just as valuable. In a study that looks at just women, the authors conclude, we observed a substantial decrease in type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease rates among those who participated in strength training compared with those who did not engage in any strength training, independent of participation in other activities. That means as a female, if you're doing all of the perfect amounts of cardio, you still don't receive optimal protection against cardiovascular disease unless you are lifting weights. Well, this is in sharp contrast to what we thought, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and what I think most people think today. The thought being, hey, I'm doing my cardio. I'm doing everything I can to mitigate cardiovascular disease risk. Wonderful publication published in the Journal of Exercise Physiology. And two of the lead authors here are wonderful researchers that Discover Strength has collaborated with in the past, Dr. James Steele and Dr. James Fisher, both based in the United Kingdom. They publish a paper, Resistance Training to Momentary Muscle Failure Improves Cardiovascular Fitness in humans. And they conclude resistance training performed to failure can induce acute and chronic physiological effects, which appear to be similar to aerobic endurance training, which in turn produces similar enhancements in our cardiovascular fitness. And of course, the big meta-analytical papers conclude with similar conclusions, similar take-home messages. The big meta-analysis published just a couple years ago states, and this is the title of the paper, effects of short-term, medium-term, and long-term resistance exercise training on our cardiometabolic health. They state resistance exercise training is a safe and effective exercise modality for inducing improvements in resting blood pressure, flow-mediated dilation, that's the ability of our arteries to contract or expand as blood moves through them, blood biomarkers of our cardiometabolic risk, and cardiopulmonary fitness in adults. And of course, these effects are more pronounced in older adults, defined as being over 41 years of age, or for any individual that has elevated cardiovascular risk. And I think the last noteworthy paper here is the new scientific statement from the American Heart Association. They published the 2023, the very end of the year, 2023 update, and they hadn't done an update since 2007. It's called Resistance Exercise Training in Individuals with and Without Cardiovascular Disease. And their conclusion is resistance training not only can improve or maintain muscle mass and strength, of course, that's what we always talk about, but also has favorable physiological and clinical effects on cardiovascular disease and risk factors. So this is our first saw sharpening benefit. I think the number one reason we strength train is to mitigate cardiovascular disease risk. It's to improve our cardiovascular health. We are largely unaware of this. We have labeled aerobic exercise as this is for cardiovascular disease mitigation, and I'm strength training for muscles, bone, et cetera. And that's just not the case. The number one reason we lift weights is to improve our cardiovascular health. Now, I have five more. Number two probably relates to number one. The second reason I think we should really be engaged in strength training is to reduce our resting blood pressure. We see drops in systolic blood pressure on average 6 points and diastolic about 5 points. Now, this is really comparable to aerobic exercise. So if you have hypertension, if you're slightly high blood pressure, systolic or diastolic, we can engage in resistance training and we see a drop in systolic blood pressure and diastolic blood pressure. But interestingly enough, in males who have high blood pressure, high levels, this is the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, high levels of muscular strength appear to protect hypertensive men against all-cause mortality. And this is in addition to the benefit provided by cardiorespiratory fitness. So this says males that are strong, okay, if you have hypertension, okay, if you have high blood pressure, you should try to get as strong as possible. Because as a male with high blood pressure, the stronger you are, the harder it is to kill you. The less likely you are to die of the comorbidities associated with having high blood pressure. So I think the second why that underpins our strength training is we should strength train to mitigate our elevations in chronically elevated systolic or diastolic blood pressure. Now, that 6-point, 5-point reduction, systolic and diastolic, we see even more pronounced reductions when the strength training is supervised. We see in hospital settings, a group of Brazilian researchers just said, hey, let's put people through a really short workout, 15 to 20 minutes while they're in the clinic. Let's put them through a high intensity strength training workout, trained in muscle failure. And in that group, they were closer to 15 to 20 points reduction in systolic blood pressure. So when the intensity is high, when there's some supervision there, it turns out that the strength training is probably even more beneficial. So let's look at our third saw sharpening benefits. This one's a little bit more common. People are aware of this. Improve our bone mineral density. I think we're aware of this. I think this is maybe the cliche of the six that I'm going to share. I think the big error we've made in improving bone mineral density is we have used weights that are too light. Recent review from the Journal Osteoporosis International says heavy resistance training is safe and improves bone function and stature in postmenopausal women with low to very low bone mass. So it turns out if you really want to add muscle size, that's called muscle hypertrophy, or muscle strength, you can lift any amount of weight that you want. The idea that you have to lift a heavy weight to get strong and get big muscles is a myth. You can use light weights and do a lot of repetitions as long as you get to muscle failure or close to muscle failure. That's one of the biggest discoveries over the last 10 years that guides our strength training. It gives us so much autonomy in how we strength train. But if we really want to maximize our bone mineral density, it looks like we need load on the bone. So stated otherwise, our older adults, postmenopausal women, are probably the only population that actually needs heavy weight. And I think we've misled our older adults. If you look at health clubs, and you know, every health club I've been to, five different continents around the world, it doesn't matter if it's in Asia, South America, anywhere in Europe, anywhere in the US, Australia, I've been to health clubs all over the place. The common factor is at 10 a.m. in the swimming pool, there are older adults in the swimming pool doing some type of water exercise class. And of course, what does that water do? It unweights us, right? We need load on the bone, and we put our older adults in the water taking load off the bone. If you wanted to improve bone mineral density, you'd be better off just getting out of the pool and just standing with gravity acting upon your body and your tissues, standing outside of the pool. So the very thing that the aging adult needs to prevent osteoporosis is the very thing that we've deprived the older adult of, and that is we need some load on the bone. So we can increase our bone mineral density by strength training, but we need a significant enough load. Our fourth saw sharpening benefit, fourth benefit that no one ever talks about, is that strength training is a wonderful way to restore our cognitive function. We've seen a few big meta-analytical papers published on this in the journal Psychological Research. That's the name of the journal. The article is called Lifting Cognition, a meta-analysis on the effects of resistance exercise on cognition. And they conclude the results of this meta-analysis revealed an overall effect of resistance training on cognition, on screening measures of cognitive impairment, and on executive function. So executive function is our ability to put together complex ideas and make sense of them. Now, related to this, we have a big meta-analysis just published, effective regular resistance training on memory in older adults. And these authors conclude regular resistance training has a positive, beneficial effect on working memory, immediate memory, and short-term memory in older adults. So this fourth benefit is if we want to enhance our cognitive function, we should engage in resistance training. And much of this research looks at how do we prevent cognitive decline, but much of it is, hey, we already have some cognitive decline. How could we improve cognitive function in a population that already has mild cognitive decline? Now, again, no one ever talks about this. You know, I meet people every day that are engaged in strength training, that are excited about strength training, but no one ever says, hey, I'm not going to miss my workout today because I'm compensated at a high level in my business or as an attorney to make decisions for this firm. And I want to make sure I'm sharp mentally. Well, that's an evidence-based statement, right? Strength training restores cognitive function. The fifth of our six benefits is a little bit broader in application. We can probably reverse aging factors with strength training. There's a wonderful paper published about 5 years ago now that looked at strength training for older adults. And it said, well, we know that older adults are participation rates in strength training with older adults decline sharply, right? We know that strength training is probably the fountain of youth. We just tend to stop doing it right when it becomes really important for us. And these researchers said, well, how do we make this more palatable for the older adults? And they talk about, well, we could do it in a really time-efficient manner. Very little strength training, a couple times a week, a few exercises performed with a high level of intensity would reduce frailty, reduce sarcopenia, increase functional ability. So when I say reduce frailty, we're actually adding lean muscle. When we talk about reducing or preventing dynopenia, we're actually adding strength. But there's a functional component here as well. And there's a number of ways we can test that, but like a get up and go test, looking at gait and balance. If we just strength train and we improve the strength of the legs, we improve our functional ability, which is so closely linked to quality of life as we age. Of course, we have some wonderful research on strength training as we age. Simon Melov did a wonderful paper on looking at the mitochondria, the gene expression profile of the quadricep of a 24-year-old compared to a 68-year-old. And he discovered that after 6 months of strength training, a 68-year-old's gene expression profile in the mitochondria of that quadricep muscle is more similar to a 24-year-old than to the previous 68-year-old after just 6 months of strength training. So reversing aging factors is my fifth kind of saw sharpening benefit. And no one talks about it. And I shouldn't say no one talks about it. We have an awareness of this now. I think we just underappreciate, or there's an underappreciation for how important this is in the aging process. And the last saw sharpening benefit is that strength training, and specifically muscle strength, so how strong we are, not even how often we lift weights, but how strong we are, muscle strength is inversely related to all-cause mortality. And we continue to see reviews, published epidemiological research that concludes, and I'll just go to a very recent paper in the Archives of Physical Medicine and Rehab, hand grip, so that's a proxy for upper body strength, and knee extension strength are independent predictors of all-cause mortality in apparently healthy populations. Therefore, muscular strength might be considered as a biomarker of aging and mortality. And so, of course, we're interested in lifespan and we're interested in health span. Much of what I talked about really touches on health span. And much of what I talked about is lifespan as well. This last benefit is all about lifespan. The idea that your muscle strength is inversely related to all-cause mortality. We are called to get as strong as possible. Now, I want to wrap up this discussion. These are the six benefits. So I'm going to go kind of in order that we touched on. The first reason we strength train is to mitigate cardiovascular disease risk. Number two is we're improving our resting blood pressure. So we're trying to prevent hypertension. Number three is we can improve our bone mineral density. Number four is we receive this cognitive function improvement. Number five is we age better. And number six is we're increasing our lifespan. And related to that, we're increasing our health span. I'll leave you with a quote from Dr. James Fisher. Dr. James Fisher is a researcher I just mentioned. He's been on the podcast before. He's based at Southampton University in Solent University in Southampton, England. And he was just serving as a keynote speaker for the Discover Strength Summit, where we had all of our exercise physiologists together for a couple of days of learning this past week. And his quotes, and I'm going to paraphrase his quote. He says, it's maybe not the health protective benefits or the health benefits that we see from strength training that really should motivate us. It's the ill health outcomes that we're actually avoiding. And I understand that is not a super sexy message, but it's probably the reality of strength training. So take these six saw sharpening benefits. I hope they serve as the why that underpins your next workout. You can be interested in increasing the size of your biceps. You can be interested in getting stronger, improving body composition. All of those benefits are still there, but be armed with the knowledge that these six benefits are there as well. And I think they might be, in many cases, more important than just getting stronger and just adding lean muscle tissue.